Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Good day, everybody. This is Monsignor Bill Fay at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary, just outside of Boston, and it's a delight to welcome you back to our podcast. And I'm delighted to have with me today Deacon Peter Claver Kivieri, who is from the Great Diocese of Columbus. Welcome, Deacon. It's a delight to have you.
Thank you very much, Monsignor Bill Fay, for that wonderful introduction. And I would like to say thank you for our listeners out there, that I think we're going to have a wonderful sharing.
We love our listeners, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Peter Claver and I know each other for more than 20 years. We met in early September of 2001 during a trip that I made to Africa, to Uganda in particular, and we realized we were in the same space together in one moment of history, and there's not another person in this building that I've known longer among the seminarians than Peter Claver. Talk about that meeting a little bit.
Yes, that was a very interesting experience. I remember by that time I was 17 years old. I think by that time you were the secretary of the USCCB, and you came along with, by then, Bishop Gregory, and the rector convened us in one of the school main hall, which is the minor seminary high school. You did address us, and yes, I saw you. Interesting, it was easy to notice you because back in Africa, there, you were the minority, we were the majority, so it was very easy to identify you. And surprisingly, when I came here to join the 23rd, part of the orientation program, first I had seen you and I was like, I think I remember this priest, but I didn't want to start it. And then when you said, yeah, we came to Uganda and we visited Kisubi, and I was like, yes, now he has opened it up, now I should also open up. And there we go. So I said, yeah, I remember you, Monsignor. You came with the bishop. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I should say, it's a small world.
I should have mentioned at the beginning that Peter Claver comes from Uganda, and I've been privileged in life to be there twice, and one for the Feast of the Martyrs, which is in early June, and it was just a spectacular time. You were in the seminary, and then you left it and came to the United States, and along the way, you connected with the Diocese of Columbus and with a wonderful bishop at the time, Frederick Campbell. Talk about Bishop Campbell. He was very instrumental in your coming back into the seminary and moving towards the priesthood.
So it was a Catholic men's conference in Columbus where men from Cincinnati, Columbus, and then Cleveland, they met downtown Columbus to talk about issues as Catholic men. And if I remember that day, I may even have forgotten my ticket. But by the working of the Holy Spirit, the gentleman who was at the gate, I explained to him, and he's like, it's okay, come on in. So after Mass, the bishop is going out, and then all of a sudden, he stops to say hello to me. And he says hello also to my cousin. So he asks my cousin, are you married? My cousin tells him, yeah, I'm married, and these are my kids. He turns to me, and I'm like, no, I'm not married. He's like, did you hear the announcement? Then I told him, my Lord Bishop, I heard you said you would love to see men who are between the ages of, 16 and, 30. Should you consider the vocation to the priesthood? And by that time, I was above the age of 35. So the bishop told me, Peter Claver, wait for me. Let me go take off my vestments and we have a word. Now, to me, that was a very, very touching moment. This is when I saw the pastoral zeal and love of this Bishop Campbell. Bishop Campbell, he gave me time and he told me, Peter Claver, we will talk. Let me have your number. And it started from there. The next thing was to connect me to the vocations director. And I can tell you the rest is history. A couple of months, I'll be ordained as a priest. So I would say that Bishop Campbell, he laid the foundation of my future priestly ordination.
What a great gift that was. What's the day of your ordination?
It will be May 27 at 10 a.m.
We're so happy for you, and we're happy for the Diocese of Columbus. We have a number of men in the seminary from Columbus, which has been a real blessing for us over the years. Talk a little bit about your first impressions of the United States and how you've grown in your impressions over the years, especially with respect to the church.
If you really want to understand what the true church is all about, what the gospel is all about, how inclusiveness the church is, I think United States lives by that. Because this is the place where you find people of all walks of lives, people of all different cultures. Growing up in Uganda, the only people I knew were Ugandans of my tribe, the Baganda. Everything was celebrated, you know, in my mother tongue, sometimes English and Latin. But again, pretty much it was all the culture. Liturgy back in Africa and back in Uganda, so to say, is more celebrated. When it is a gospel procession or entrance procession, there is always a liturgical dance. The sign of peace can take almost like 5 minutes. Everybody says, wishes a sign of peace to everybody. Everybody knows everybody. So there is that bit of kind of like celebration. When I came to the United States, my first mass, I swear to God, I thought it was a funeral. Because I saw there was only one organist and there was one cantor, and the rest of the congregation, they were stand still. And the priest up there in the sanctuary is doing everything by himself. Priests in Africa, when they enter the sacristy before Mass, somebody vests them. And then everything's set ready, the bells are rung, and then Mass starts. When I came to America, it was a different story. It took me some time to get into that. Mm-hmm. And then the most striking thing was at the end of the Mass, the parking lot was empty. Father was left at the church by himself.
That doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen in Africa. After Mass, you know, people will stay. They will talk about several things. There is a meal to share. It's really a day of communion. But having stayed here in America for quite some time, I'm getting used to, you know, to the American way of celebrating.
I was present. There is this Mass on June 3rd.
June 3rd, Uganda Martyrs Day.
It's the Martyrs. And there are a million people. And many of them come walking by pilgrimage to celebrate the Mass. It was one of the most extraordinary things I ever saw in my life. As you said, people celebrate the Mass with their bodies. Yes. It's not just their mouths. I mean, they're moving, they're swaying, they're just thoroughly joyful. One of my biggest surprises, Peter Claver, was in Nairobi.
Yes.
When we went to visit Nairobi, we were brought into the cathedral by a back door, and we vested for Mass. And we were going out to celebrate a noontime Mass in the cathedral, and I walked out and I was stunned. The church, which must have held 1,500 people, was packed. Noonday on a weekday, people left work to come to daily Mass, and they were dressed up as if it were Sunday. It was the most spectacular thing. There's a real love of the faith and a love of the church.
We understand you cannot have the best wedding other than the wedding feast of the Lamb.
Exactly.
And you can only have that during the Eucharistic celebration. Growing up, I knew I had to make sure that my shoes are polished well. I had the best pants on, the best shirts on. And up to now, it's the very thing. You put on your best.
What's your experience been like here at Pope St. John? How would you describe it to people who don't know much about the place?
Men here are more than brothers. Mm-hmm. They are more than brothers. For anyone out there who's considering the vocation to the priesthood, and you're above the age of 30, please talk to your bishop and consider joining the 23rd National Seminary. You grow with brother seminarians. There's that collegiality between, you know, the faculty and the seminarians and the staff. Here, we live as a family, and that's why every day I say, I'm blessed. I think you know my mantra.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I mean it. It comes from the bottom of my heart because of what we have here. So God bless John the 23rd, and God bless whoever had this vision of starting this seminary for men like us. Because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be seated here with you, Monsignor, and people wouldn't be listening to us.
It's an invention, really, by Cardinal Richard Cushing back in the 60s. We're coming up to our 60th anniversary. It was founded in 1964, and he actually went to Rome, and during the time of the 60s, during the council, he had a chance to have a private audience with Pope John the 23rd in 1963, and said to him, I'm thinking that there's a need for this in the United States for older men. What do you think? And John the 23rd gave his blessing and said, do it. It's a great idea.
Amen.
And not only that, but it was the later that year in June, John the 23rd, of course, died in 1963. And so the cardinal had the brilliant idea of naming it after him because it was his blessing that really opened and founded the place. Something happens in the life of a man in his early 30s where he relates with men older than he, than 20-somethings. And many of our seminaries today are filled with younger men, but to have a unique place where older men can fraternize with each other and really help each other to get to the priesthood along with a formation faculty is just a very beautiful and a very, very brilliant kind of thing. I know you made it a point to me before we started the podcast that you wanted to say a word of deep gratitude to those people who support this seminary.
Absolutely. Without them, I wouldn't be sitting here. Those men and women out there who every day go deep down into their pockets and sign those checks to make this happen. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you so much. And may God look upon you with blessings, open the gates of success for all your endeavors and your wants. I just want to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
I can't think of a better way for us to end than to be with that word of gratitude. And also, if you know someone out there, if you come upon a man in his middle ages who happens to be single, may have lost his spouse through death or divorce, and you think he'd make a good priest, don't hesitate to say that to him. A lot of times people don't know what other people see in them, and so expressing it and just inviting them to give it some consideration is a very, very blessed and wonderful thing. So again, thank you for joining us today for this podcast. We're so delighted to have you with us. And to echo Peter Claver's words, thank you for the great prayer support and financial support that you give to us. And we look forward to having you again with us in our next podcast. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. And be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.